Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How important is appreciation? Appreciation in the workplace. Can you motivate someone by appreciation? How do you create positive workplace relationships and environments? What are some keys to reduce staff burnout and turnover without spending a lot of money to do so? What about if you have a business, a family business, and you're planning some transitions there in your leadership? You know, there's always tensions that come about that you need to address. Sometimes they're not always addressed, nor are they addressed very well. Well, our guest today has spent his career advising, supporting, and facilitating success in these areas and so much more. But we pause here at the beginning of our show just to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is ultimately to lead you to Jesus Christ. We bring guests of various backgrounds and specialties to engage, to connect. Perhaps something that is going to be said today is going to connect with you or someone that you know. But our goal is to lead you to the Lord. Oh, whatever you might be facing, something apropos, something very timely for you is ready to be distilled. But we want to lead you to Christ. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, that you would know His love, that you would know His grace, that you would know His forgiveness. He who died on the cross for your sins and mine, who shed His precious blood on that cross, He was buried, and He rose again on the third day, and the living Christ calls you to Himself this very day, this very moment. And if you are already a Christ follower, we want to build you up, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to give you some practical tools that will enrich your life even today. Dr. Paul White is a psychologist, author, speaker, and consultant who makes work relationships work. For the past 20 years, he's improved numerous businesses, wealthy family estates, and nonprofit organizations through his writing and presentations. His speaking style has been described as world-class expertise grounded in Midwestern practicality with the right touch of warmth and humor. Dr. White is co-author of the book, The Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace, written by Dr. Gary Chapman, with Dr. Gary Chapman, who is the author of the number one New York Times bestseller, The Five Love Languages. This book was released in 2011. In fact, the subtitle is Empowering Organizations by Empowering People by Dr. White and Dr. Chapman. Of course, based on their extensive research and expertise, Dr. White and Dr. Chapman have developed a unique way for organizations to motivate employees that lead to increased job satisfaction, higher employee performance, and enhanced levels of trust. Dr. Paul White graduated magna cum laude from Wheaton College with a major in Christian education. He earned his master's degree in counseling from Arizona State University and his PhD in counseling psychology from Georgia State University. He's been married for over 30 years and is the father of four adult children. Dr. Paul, welcome to our show.
Hey, thank you, Danny. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I know we are talking here via telephone with you all the way there in, what is that, Wichita, Kansas?
That is correct, Wichita, Kansas.
Okay. Well, Dr. Paul, where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in another part of Kansas, outside of Kansas City, in a city called Lawrence, where the University of Kansas is. And so I grew up a Kansas Jayhawk basketball and football fan. They mainly played basketball there. But I grew up here in the Midwest. And I would suppose many of your listeners have never been here. So visually, there are parts of it that are sort of rolling hills with trees, and there are parts that are pretty flat with just farmland. And there's some beautiful hills with sort of rolling grassland and big wide open skies, and we sort of tease that you can see the weather coming for 2 weeks. So, but it's a great place that God has blessed me to be able to live.
And you are there right in the heart, literally in the heart of America.
Correct, yeah. Almost not too far, about an hour from or 2 hours from the exact middle of the continental United States. You know, when you include Alaska and Hawaii, it moves up into the west. But for the lower 48, yeah, we're pretty right dead center.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
You know, I was thinking about that, and I would have to say it was my family. And in this sense, I grew up in a family-owned business, which was a big part of the culture. My mother and my grandfather, my paternal grandfather, started a business that my father helped run and take over. And so we had a lot of family around. I grew up close to both sets of grandparents and aunts and uncles, and I am the youngest of four children. But, you know, my father obviously was a large influence. He was a strong leader. He was a follower of Christ, and I'm blessed to come from a heritage on that side of the family that for many generations have had people that follow Christ. My mom was the nurturer, the person who, you know, cared for me. And my paternal grandparents, Grandpa and Grandma White, were lived a couple blocks away and babysat me. And you know, I feel blessed as I think about it, that I always felt loved and cared for. And I know that's not the case for so many people, but God gave that foundation to me. Not that, you know, there weren't other issues, but my dad was demanding, and I felt like I couldn't measure up. Part of that was my issue. But, you know, my family influenced me, and they continue. I mean, we continue to be close. My father's passed away with the Lord now, and my mom's still living. She's 89. And my older siblings were close. So there's been a lot of support there and just instruction, both sort of intentionally and through modeling about, you know, doing what's right, following the Lord. I mean, we were in church a lot, grew up working hard. And so, you know, my family shaped who I've become to a large degree.
Mm-hmm. How did you become a Christian?
Well, I grew up attending church. I mean, I teased my middle name's Eugene, which starts with an E, so my initials are P-E-W, and so I teased that I was born to be raised in a church pew, and from the time I was a few weeks old, I was in the nursery there. But I actually, when I was 4 years old, at Sunday night church service, my pastor, Reverend Kenneth Brown, gave a message and invitation, and God touched my heart, and I responded and gave my life to him then. And, you know, I was young, obviously, and my understanding grew over the years. And I would say God then touched me again when I was a sophomore in high school. I was struggling with following him and sort of, you know, trying to have one foot in both worlds. And it just was tearing me up. You know, I mean, there's nobody more unhappy than a disobedient, chronically disobedient believer. And mm-hmm. So God finally got a hold of me, and I had some guy who was a high school youth leader that started pouring into my life, and so I started walking with God more seriously then, and then it continued to grow from there.
Well, we read in Scripture that to whom much is given, of him much is required.
Yeah.
And you have indeed been blessed with a, well, we would just call it a solid upbringing, solid Christian heritage. And, you know, of course, you did mention about, you know, we're not living in perfection. You've had your challenges, but to think of what you're doing now, the lives that you're reaching, touching, the businesses, the organizations that you're impacting, you've certainly taken your calling to another level. Well, maybe God has entrusted you to do that, and you know, great things are happening. This book, The 5 Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace, written with Dr. Gary Chapman. Why did you write the book?
Well, you know, I wrote it because my wife and I, my wife Kathy and I, had been significantly positively impacted by the 5 love languages, which Dr. Chapman wrote, and which is on personal relationships. And the basic concept is that people experience love in different ways and different languages, and if you don't communicate it in the language that's important to them, you sort of miss the mark. So, you know, we were working at our marriage, and I was obviously missing the mark. And but over time, you know, I've learned and tried to implement that. And then at the same time, I was consulting with a family-owned business actually in North Carolina, and I was meeting with had a meeting with the father, who's the CEO, and talked to him. I said, you know, how are things going as far as this transition plan to your son? Well, he said, it's going great. You know, it's my son's stepping up, and he's taking responsibility, and, you know, right, he's learning. And he said, you know, I think it's going well. And then I walk across the hall, and I see his son, and I ask him, say, hey, you know, how are things going with you and your dad and the transition plan? And he says, this is not going to work. He said, you know, I can't do anything to please my dad. It's never enough. And it was obvious, you know, they're just missing each other.
So a slight disconnect, right?
Absolutely. And so I just saw the opportunity for the same kind of concepts to be translated and applied in the work-based relationship. So I pursued Dr. Chapman and got to meet with him and talk to him about it. And he agreed for us to start to work on the project, which actually the first part was developing the inventory that became called the Motivating by Appreciation Inventory that comes with the book. And it's an online assessment that identifies each person's ways that they like to be shown appreciation and encouragement, and even their least valued ones. And as we worked with teams, managers would say, well, hey, it's helpful to know the language, let's say quality time, but what do I do? What does that mean? And so managers, you know, like to sort of have an action list. And so we went back and created another part of the inventory that, once you identify your primary language, then it also identifies or gives you the opportunity from 25, 30 specific actions of what's important to you within that language. So, you know, you might want some individual time with your supervisor, or some people don't. They prefer to go out to lunch with their friends, you know, and or somebody, you know, take a walk before work or whatever. And then the team members, the employees, said, well, it depends whether it's my supervisor or my colleagues or whatever, because I might have my friends over to, you know, have a meal or a barbecue, but I'm not going to invite my boss. And so we then specified the inventory even more. So we started out doing that, and then I started using the tool with teams of both family businesses I worked with, and then my church and some other ministries and public school. And so then we sort of built model for understanding how they work and how to train people in using them.
Well, that's one of the things I love, Dr. Paul. When brilliant people are able to synthesize complex things and simplify it and then put it into a package, in this case, the form of a book, an inventory, where people can benefit from it from the get-go. And you've produced that, you along with Dr. Gary Chapman. And we've got to go further. We've got to go further on this, deeper. I want you to share more. In fact, you know, I'm wondering about these appreciation languages. In fact, as you're listening today, in this time with Dr. Paul White, you might be wondering, okay, you've given me the beginning, but what is this? And what are those appreciation languages that you have in your book. Well, we'll give you some of these, and Dr. Paul will explain some of them. I'll give you a hint. The first one is words of appreciation. Sounds simple enough. Well, he'll expand that for us when we come back. We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, more from Dr. Paul White. You know, he's given lectures all around the world, including North America, Europe, South America, Asia, the Caribbean. His expertise has been requested by Microsoft, Princeton University, the Milken Institute, Napa Valley Community Foundation, Dartmouth College, and so many more national organizations. But he's here with us today, here on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Dr. Paul White. You don't want to miss what he has to say when we come back, so stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
On a dark, howling winter night, 18-year-old Danny Yamashiro fell headfirst 400 feet from historic Poly Ridge. Massive head injuries, crushed organs, and a shattered ankle changed his life, becoming a radio host, pastor, author, and worldwide evangelist. In his book, Paradise Calls, Danny recounts his personal journey and how God turned debilitating depression, isolation, and failure into a calling that reaches hundreds of thousands.
New York Times bestselling author Stephen Mansfield writes, Danny Yamashiro's story reveals the power of this call, so vibrantly that we are all infused with passion to take hold of our eternal purpose.
Get this riveting story as a free ebook today at thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Johnny Erickson Tata says Danny Yamashiro has turned every challenge into a cherished opportunity to point people to Jesus.
Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and download Paradise Calls free today. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Lynn Smith is the Director of Leadership Development at the Next Level Leadership of Canada. And she writes this book. She's speaking about the book, The Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace. This book addresses not just the need for the life-giving appreciation we all need, but takes us through the process of discovering what that looks like for ourselves and for those with whom we work. Everyone who reads this book will, without doubt, be better equipped to create an atmosphere of appreciation in their sphere of influence, wherever that is. This book, The Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace, Empowering Organizations by Encouraging People, written by Dr. Paul White and Dr. Gary Chapman. If you're tuning in right now, you're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm glad you're with us today. Dr. Paul White is with us all the way from Wichita, Kansas. To find out more about this program, get this podcast for free, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. And to find out more about Dr. Paul White, drpaulwhite.com. Dr. Paul, talk to us about these languages of appreciation in the workplace. What are they?
Well, you know, Danny, they are the same in title as the five love languages. And let me just run through those. They're words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, tangible gifts, and, yes, even physical touch in the workplace. And we'll talk about that. But, you know, they look differently in practice in the workplace than they do in personal relationships, because there's different kinds of formalities of relationship and different structure and obviously personal boundaries and those kinds of things. But what we found is that people have different ways that being encouraged or being shown appreciation are more meaningful or less meaningful to them. You know, words is sort of the easiest one. That's often what people think of when they think of appreciation. And that can either be orally, in other words, spoken, or it could be written. You know, it can be a handwritten note, or it could be a text. It could be an email. And it's mainly just affirming who that person is or what they've done. And, in fact, we found that one of the benefits we have as Christians is that we understand that people have value just because God created us. In the secular workplace, they largely focus on performance-driven recognition, which is okay. I mean, you get sort of recognized and rewarded for doing well. But I found and gotten feedback from people that if that's all that they ever hear or that they're only, you know, praised for what they do, it's sort of hollow because you sort of feel like a machine or just, you know, a producer. But we have value even when we don't produce. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but I make mistakes, and I'm not always at the top of my game. And so,
yes.
Do I seek to have value when, you know, I've made a mistake? No. I mean, and I think that's the time as Christians we can really encourage people and show love and care and their value. Say, hey, you know, yeah, I made a mistake, and we need to take care of it. But, you know, I still value as a team member. You know, you have an incredible smile and laugh and just cheer this place up, and that's worth a lot, you know. And so one of the things we need to do is be specific. If you just sort of say, good job, team, or way to go, that doesn't really get it. It doesn't get to the heart of the matter for people. So you want to be specific, try to be positive. And the question that people ask to say, well, should you also sort of do that when you're, you know, correcting people? I would say not. I would say just give them the positive and don't, you know, finish it up with a but statement, you know. Just say, you know, cheerful. Great to be around. Thanks. I'm glad you're on the team. And let it go at that. And you'd be surprised. I mean, 65% of the workers in the workforce report that they've received no recognition or positive words in the past year in the workplace, which is amazing.
65%.
Yeah. And I think part of it is that because when I talk to managers and employers and supervisors, they don't believe it. They say, well, it can't be my team because I sell my value. But I think the issue is that people don't hear it. They don't receive it. And part of that is that words aren't important to everyone. In fact, I had one leader tell me, he said, you know, Paul, this is good. We were doing it actually with a public school, an inner city public school faculty. And he said, this is good for the team, but I don't really need to be told I'm appreciated. I sort of encourage myself. And I said, oh, really? And he said, yeah. Turns out he was right. He doesn't need to be told because his language was time. And turned out he was a coach. And if you went and hung out with him at practice, and sort of saw what he did, he'd get jazzed, and he'd tell you what's going on in different kids' lives and all that, and it was really encouraging to him. But he later told me, he said, I grew up in a subculture where if somebody praised you, the next thing that was coming was an ask. That they were basically setting you up to ask you for a favor, ask you for a loan or something. He said, so whenever somebody compliments me, I got this automatic defense wall that just shoots up. And so you could compliment the guy or shoot him notes all day long, and it's not going to do anything. So we have to understand that for some people, you know, some people say words are cheap, that kind of stuff, and we have to use other languages. So, you know, another major one is quality time. In personal relationships, we talk about quality time being just focused attention. And there is a gender difference here. Women tend to like focused attention. They want their husband or their boyfriend to sit across from them face to face. Not looking at anything, not have the TV, you know, remote in his hand, not, you know, doing a cell phone, and just full attention and listening. guys don't build relationships like that typically. We mainly build relationships shoulder to shoulder. And so we, if you think about what guys do to build friendships, we do stuff with other guys.
Maybe, mm-hmm.
You know, we watch sports, we go to sporting events, we maybe go fishing or
play golf,
you know, play golf, work mm-hmm. on a car, whatever it might be. And so that's how you build a relationship with guys typically. And so if there are women out there who are either frustrated about building a relationship with their husband or even like their teenage son, you don't sit your teenager son down and talk to him. You either run errands with him in the car or you go shoot hoops with him, do something with him, and sort of distracting, and guys are more engaged that way. So quality time in the workplace, it can be individual time with the supervisor, but lots of people say, nah, I just, you know, I like hanging out with my team, and sometimes they want to talk about work, sometimes they don't. And so it's important to find out the specific kind of time that's important for them. Acts of service is not rescuing people from not doing their work. It's really a small act of service that helps make their day or week go better. It could be something like, you know, you're going to the you know, snack room, you say, hey, I'm going to get some coffee, would you like some? Or, you know, going to the supply room, or you're going to run some errands and ask them. I had one situation where a gal, we were going through the training and was at a manufacturing firm, and she said, you know, let me tell you a story about what happened last week. And she said, I was overwhelmed. It was the end of the month, and I was behind on my billing, and I had phone calls to make to customers, and I was just sort of stressed. And one of the coworkers who was going through the training stopped by and realized I was stressed and said, hey, is there anything, you know, I can do to help out? And, you know, I don't know about in Hawaii, but here in the Midwest, if somebody asks you if you need help, your first answer is, no, I got it. You know, I mean, it's sort of an independent kind of thing. And
that might be universal.
Okay. And so, you know, she said, no, really, I got time. I got time over lunch if you need to.
Huh.
She said, well, if you could, you know, come make some phone calls, that'd be helpful. And so she did, went in just 15, 20 minutes, helped her out. And while this gal's telling the story, a tear started coming down her eye. She said, It wasn't a big deal, but it was just, it was nice to know that somebody noticed and they cared, you know. Right. And so that was impactful for her. And then as far as tangible gifts, it's not bonuses, it's not raises. Again, it's just sort of a little something that showing that you're getting to know your colleagues. And again, this is a sort of a cool thing for us Christians. The inventory provides a way to get to know people at a more personal level so you can build a relationship deeper than you would otherwise. So it could be, you know, if they like Starbucks coffee, you bring that in for them, or, you know, we do donuts and that kind of thing. But it can be like if they like sports, you get them, you know, a magazine about the Hawaii, University of Hawaii, what, Rainbows, right? Football team, you know, and what it's like, or if they like fishing or gardening or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Chapman, his assistant, likes cashews, and occasionally he'll just pick up a can of cashews and give to her and say, hey, I just thought you might enjoy this, you know. So it's just a little something that shows that you're getting to know people. And then the other one is physical touch. And I got lots of stories about this, but basically what we found is that physical touch in the workplace is largely spontaneous celebration.
Yeah.
You know, it's a high five when you finish a project, or it's a fist bump, you know, when you fix a computer problem, or you know, even a handshake when you make a sale. And actually we found, you know, in Hawaii you guys have multiple cultures there, we found that a pat on the back is actually the cross-culturally most acceptable form of physical touch for appreciation in the workplace. And I was actually working with a group of women leaders, and they said, yeah, but it's just two pats and no circular motion. You know, you just sort of keep it pretty sterile there. But you know, and you have to be careful.
You got to be careful. Got to be careful.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Paul, you've got to be a motivational speaker. I mean, by the way that you say it. I mean, I'm getting revved up just thinking about these various ways: words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, tangible gifts, physical touch. We can bless so many people around us, and it doesn't seem to take much to do it.
It really doesn't.
A little thing can literally go a long way. And you gave us a broad overview of it. When we come back, I'd like for us to go a little bit deeper. For example, you know, is there a difference between recognition and appreciation? Dr. Paul, if you can explain a little bit about that, what's the distinction?
Sure.
And then blind spots. Sometimes some of us have blind spots. I know I have them all the time, and I certainly could use some help. But today, as you're listening, this is a privileged moment for us to have this time with Dr. Paul White, who is the author, along with Dr. Gary Chapman, of the book, The Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace. Hey, this stuff is going to make a difference at work. It will lift your spirits. It will lift your, it'll change the environment at your workplace. It'll affect you and it'll affect others. It will make things so much more positive and productive as we take this even further. This book can be, you can get it at Amazon.com. You can get it at your local bookstore, Christian bookstore, as well as whatever bookstore, you can get it there. The Five Languages of Appreciation by Dr. Paul White and Dr. Gary Chapman. In fact, to find out more about Dr. Paul White, his extensive practice, his speaking ministry, go to drpaulwhite.com. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, recognition and appreciation. What about this? How to create positive workplace relationships and environments. Does that interest you? When we come back, you'll hear more from Dr. Paul White, all the way from Wichita, Kansas, taking this time to share inspiring words, words of encouragement, words of hope, just for you. Jesus is one who gives us the ultimate affirmation. He lets us know that regardless how we perform, we are valued by God. You're valued by God, my friend. Whatever challenge you might be facing, whatever might be ahead of you, whatever difficulty it might be, you are valuable. You matter to God. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
It was Tom Nicholson. Tom Nicholson said, in fact, he's the executive director of HR People and Strategy, and he wrote, "Trusting relationships are the glue that holds commerce together. They are more important than skills or knowledge." This book, he's talking about the book, The Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace, written by Dr. Paul White and Dr. Gary Chapman. He says, this book shows how to build trust on a personal level in the workplace. And its principles apply for a wide variety of organizations. If you're tuning in right now, you're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. My featured guest today, Dr. Paul White. To find out more about Dr. White, go to drpaulwhite.com. Hey, you know what? As people are listening today, Dr. Paul, someone might be thinking to themselves, okay, that all sounds fine and good, but I'm not a leader. How do these things apply to someone who might be saying to themselves that very thing, I'm not a leader?
Yeah, that's a great point, Danny, because as we've worked with teams, what we found is that although it's important to be shown appreciation from your manager, we really have found that people want to know how to encourage their colleagues and their coworkers. And we found that the most powerful way to influence a workplace is when coworkers and colleagues learn how to and take it upon themselves to communicate positively to one another. Because really, it's your colleague that knows before anybody else that you're stressed or you're discouraged or whatever. And they also know what your day-to-day life is like. We found, in fact, we have a number of situations where somebody was, you know, a receptionist, and she got the book, and she read it, and she sort of put the book on her desk and just started to try to encourage people around her, and the supervisor or her boss got interested and found out about it, and we sort of took it through the organization. And we've had people various spots, so you don't have to be at the top of the organization, or even have to be a supervisor or manager, but we found that anybody can positively impact those around them, especially if you understand what's important to them and what really is meaningful. So there's that point. And the other question that people often ask is, you know, well, this sounds sort of hokey. You know, it's like, I always, you know, smile and say thank you and, you know, have a nice day. And it seems sort of, you know, fake. And they're exactly right on the mark. I mean, the biggest issue that we have in the workplace is the issue of genuine and authentic appreciation. And it ties into the issue about recognition, that many recognition programs, not all, but many, are really performance-based. They're top-down. It's a program. You go through these motions, and it's just so everybody, you know, writes a thank you note or an email once a week or whatever. And people just sort of, you know, fluff it off because they think, they're just doing it because it's the program. And if they don't view it as genuine or authentic, it actually can undermine and actually hurt trust more. And so we work at, and we have a chapter in the book on authentic appreciation and what happens when you don't value your teammates, you know, and you shouldn't just sort of go through the motions. I had a pastor say, Paul, what should I do if, you know, I'm not really liking my staff and what they're doing? Should I just go ahead and do this? I said, absolutely not. You know, you need to identify what the issues are. And for him, part of it was he had too high a standard. He was a perfectionistic. Nobody could ever meet his standard. And you have to figure that out and be genuine about it. So we really focus on that. We're not trying to just, you know, sort of paste smiling faces on people and going through the motions. We want to help make it real, because when you really hit the mark, you can impact people deeply.
When you talk about authenticity, I think that's something that we need in the body of Christ, certainly. But it's also something that people who are seekers, looking for, they're on a spiritual quest. They're searching for God. They're looking for authenticity as well. So let's get a little personal here, Dr. Paul. You obviously have a passion for what you're teaching and what you're writing. Where did it come from?
Oh, wow. That is personal, but I'll answer it. And it's sort of humbling, to be honest. I think God has given me the gift of encouragement and also of wisdom. And, I mean, not for me, but somehow the combination of those two with this topic just resonates with sort of who I am. And, you know, Danny, it's more fun to be around somebody who's cheerful than somebody who's grumpy. Have you noticed that?
Here, here. I'm with you there.
and people are hurting and work is tough, work these days is very tough. And, you know, we put in time and effort and we're not getting paid anymore and having to work more because staff have been laid off and there's anxiety. And money only gives us a certain sense of satisfaction at work. I mean, everybody needs to be paid and sort of your foundational level. But after that, more and more money doesn't make you any happier. Last week I met with a family that's worth $250 million. And they are not happy, you know. Now, money doesn't make you unhappy, but if that's where your, you know, worth lies, it's not going to make it. So people need to know and want to know that they are of value, that what they do is valuable, that the skills, and this is true in the church. I think the church does a terrible job of honoring those people who serve with gifts and talents that aren't, you know, up front. I mean, not teachers, pastors, but somebody that, you know, makes great chili for a chili feed, or somebody who is a great servant and working with the kids and all that. And one thing that churches and ministries could do is they can sort of stop the revolving door of volunteers by just taking a little bit of time to acknowledge the people that are serving. And unfortunately, I mean, we mean well, but churches and ministries often do things that aren't that helpful. So, for example, we often do like group, you know, an appreciation picnic for the volunteers or Sunday school teachers or youth leaders, whatever. But the problem is, and that's a nice gesture, but there's some people who are introverted that going to a large group, unstructured gathering with a bunch of people they don't know very well is, you know, like torture. It's like poke me in the eye with a stick and let's get over with it, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, so not everybody is like you and me, Danny, where we're outgoing and, you know, just give me a new person, you know? So we try, but that doesn't get it for that person. And similarly, I mean, my church, they do a great job, and I did a little something for them. They sent me a note, and they sent me a gift card for Starbucks, which was great, nice, but I don't drink coffee. And it was like a nice gesture, but, you know, well, I sort of saved the day by I gave it to my daughter, and so I got some points that way. But later, I think maybe my wife gave me some feedback, and the next time I got a nice note plus a card for going to a sporting goods store, and I like to fish, and so it was like, hey, free lures. Man, I'm on this. And so just, you know, it's the same action, but just a little bit of tweak, and one hit me in the heart, and the other one sort of flew over my shoulder, you know. And so we take the time to find out what's valuable to people. And I'm not about creating to-do lists for people. I mean, we all have more than enough to do. But if we can be more efficient and effective in our actions, so you spend time, you call and talk to somebody who values that, and you write a note to the people that value that, and you get the right gift card to the people that value that, all of a sudden, man, you're humming. You know, it's like you're encouraging your team and motivating them. And it's not taking a whole lot of time because you're not having to do a whole bunch of things that are missing the mark.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just amazing how God made us and how we respond to a sense of being valued, appreciated, and encouraged.
You're going to spend the same amount of money to show appreciation. We may as well get them the right card, right?
There you go, exactly.
What's the difference between recognition and appreciation?
You know, the way that I've come to understand it is that recognition really is about behavior. It's about behavior of the supervisor or the other person. They observe the worker doing the right job, and then they do some kind of, you know, calling attention to it or reward. It doesn't take any hard attitude. It's just sort of you go through the motion, and it's okay. But it's usually organizationally driven. I mean, it's top-down. And it's not very personal, and it's fairly generic. I mean, everybody sort of gets the same kind of thing, a certificate or, you know, gift card or whatever. And so it feels fairly impersonal. Authentic appreciation, on the other hand, has to do both with behavior, because we want to encourage that, but it also has to do with character. And I think, especially as Christians, we understand character better than our non-believing friends in a lot of ways, because we know that it goes to the heart. And so, you know, there's a difference between saying, hey, I really value that you show up every day on time and, you know, and that's helpful for me, versus saying, hey, you know, Susan, you are dependable. And it's just tremendous that, you know, no matter what I ask you to do, I can depend that you're going to get done. Now, for somebody that words are important, you just grabbed her heart and just, you know, massaged it, and she's feeling good because you've found a nugget about who she is and called attention to that. And so appreciation talks about that. It also really has to be a heart attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sort of go through the motions and really authentically communicate appreciation. And people have pretty good radar for picking that up. And so you have to be careful and you have to be genuine about it. And so for some people it are difficult to sort of find positive things. There are some people that are, you know, not great workers, whatever. And so you have to work at it a little bit. And sometimes it's not about work things. It's about, hey, I really am impressed with your personal discipline that you can train for doing a half marathon. Or, you know, man, you are a great cook if they bring in a dessert or something. And that works, too. It's a starting point. It may not be work-related, but it's about who they are. And people get it. And if it's about them as a person and not just what they do and that they, you know, met their quota or, you know, got good customer service, you know, ratings, whatever, they start to see it. Now, the key issue is genuineness, and the way that you communicate that is you have to do it regularly. If you just do it once a year, you know, at their performance review or at Christmas time, they're probably not going to believe you. But, you know, over time, if you work at trying to call attention to and just communicate positively, and again, it's not always words. Sometimes it's doing stuff with them. Acts of service can be really powerful for men a lot of times,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure why. But, you know, I had one CEO said, my language is get her done. You know, I don't need you to tell me anything. Just help me get some stuff done. And spending some extra time and helping them, you know, finish up a project can be really meaningful.
Well, Doctor, you are one of those people who, gosh, you can just talk and you're just throwing out nuggets, valuable nuggets, not only concepts and principles, but you're giving examples. And as you do that, you know, a listener, one of our dear listeners is going to grab onto this one or that one. I'm going to grab onto to one thing. And you're enriching us just as you speak. And as we have the privilege to today to listen to Dr. Paul White, the author of The Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace, maybe you might be feeling a little bit overwhelmed. You say, wow, that's a lot, you know? I mean, there's a lot there. You know, I don't know which language is this one for my friend Harry or my coworker Sue. Hey, let's just settle it down a little bit. And could you take one step of growth? Can we just simplify it in that way? Is there one thing you can do? Because you might be saying, that's just not me. And like Dr. White said, it's a matter of authenticity. It's got to be consistent with who you are. Well, is there one thing that you could do? One word you can share? One point of action? A small gift that you can give? A pat on the back. Hey, if that's something you rarely do and you do it one time, you'll begin to see a transformational effect take place. My friend, we just want to encourage you. I'm encouraged. There's things that I want to begin to implement. And that's one thing I learned, is just take one small step. And as you do, as I do, let's do it together, okay? Hey, we're going to take a quick break right now. But when we come back, more. Actually, we're coming down the final stretch in our time together with Dr. Paul White. He's talked a little bit about MBA, and we're not talking about the Masters of Business Administration. We're talking about an inventory, motivation by appreciation. That's something he and Dr. Gary Chapman, an inventory they put together. That and much more can be imparted to you when you read the book, The Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace. More with Dr. Paul White when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
There have been times when I would read a book, and of course, I'm not just reading the whole thing through in one sitting. It's because it's so packed with rich stuff that my heart pitters and patters. I get excited because of I just know that if I apply this principle, it's going to make a difference in my work environment. It's going to make a difference in my relationships. And really, as much as I've had, we all have diets of certain kinds of foods we like to eat. If we develop a certain appetite and have a diet for reading certain key books, literature, our lives will grow in ways that we would have never imagined. You know, the Lord uses that to really enrich us. And as we're enriched, we're enabled to enrich the lives of others. But today I'm speaking specifically about this book, The Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace. Your work environment, your attitude, your willingness, your excitement even to go to work. If it's become kind of humdrum or if you begin to dread it, this book can make a difference for you. If you're a business owner or if you're a manager, a leader, and if you're not a leader, you don't think you're a leader, it will apply to you. Empowering organizations by encouraging people. Hey, encouraging people. My featured guest today is Dr. Paul White. He wrote this book along with Dr. Gary Chapman, and you can get it at drpaulwhite.com. You can find out more about him there. You can get the book at amazon.com and any bookstore in an area near you. This is the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. And Dr. White, Paul, tell us, you know, we all go through tough times in life.
Yep.
How has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
Well, you know, Danny, well, he's been there. You know, I'm 55 now and accepted Christ as a boy and then have attempted to walk with him for a number of years and had my own struggles. And two verses that, you know, have been impactful to me from being a young man. One is Proverbs 8:17. It says, I love those who love me and those who seek me will find me. And that, you know, there are times where it's like, man, did I hear God right? Or, you know, what's going on? Where am I? And God, are you still there? And, you know, he just says, you know, if we seek him, he's not playing hide and seek with us. You know, he's trying to teach us something, to trust him and to learn to walk in obedience. So we continue to seek him, you know, he's going to be there and let us find him. And the other one, just the practical one for me, it's Proverbs 13:20, that he who walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And, you know, I've tried to surround myself with wise men and women and learn from that, whether either personally or through books and, you know, radio and podcasts and all that. So, you know, we all make stupid decisions and mistakes, but, you know, if we can learn from others and not make as many. I think that's important. I think, you know, the thing that when you're going through a tough time, I've learned is you got to stay in the Word. You just, you know, just read, sort of wash yourself with the Word, whether that's Psalms or Proverbs or, you know, the Gospels and learning about Christ. You get away from the Word, you start to think weird, you know, and think lies, and then that, and then your feelings get all off. And so sometimes you just have to just it's just a discipline of just making sure you just read. And it may, you may not feel great or whatever, but that's not the issue. It, God will honor that, and it'll bring things to your mind, to your spirit, to help encourage you and lead you into the right path.
You have certainly encouraged us today, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your very, very busy schedule, your travel schedule, your writing, your consultations, to impart to us, hey, he who walks with the wise shall be wise. We get to walk with you today, Dr. Paul, and your book, Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace, certainly does that as well. Hey, you want to hang out with a couple of wise men? Hang out with Dr. Paul White and Dr. Gary Chapman? Pick up this book, The Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace. Get it at Amazon.com, and you can get it at the bookstore near you. Dr. White, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. I appreciate this very much.
Danny, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity. I have to just say that my wife and I were out there for the Hawaiian Islands Ministry Conference and just were so warmly received and felt really blessed and loved. And so thank you. It was a great experience. Thanks for this opportunity.
And I appreciate you sharing words of hope just like this. And I hope that as you've listened today, you've been encouraged by Dr. Paul White. And you know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com, click the Get to Know Jesus tab. And to help us with your financial support and want to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click the Partners tab. Philippians 2 verse 3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Dr. Paul White. Find out more at drpaulwhite.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave